Thanks, Anna. We've parachuted Anna in from Camel Wheel. That's great to have her home for Christmas. And a very happy Christmas to you all. It's wonderful to be able to celebrate together on this special day of the year and remind ourselves of the great truths of the Christmas story. And we're going to continue doing that this morning. By the way, if you came out last night, didn't we have a fantastic time? It was wonderful to have all the families and just experience Christmas in a slightly different way for us as a church. I think we'll have to do that again. Right. I'm sure that at least some of you will have, at some point in the past, read the story or maybe seen the movie of A Christmas Carol written by Charles Dickens. Some of you may have had to do it at school, but it tells the story of a grumpy, greedy accountant called Ebenezer Scrooge, who was stubbornly opposed to Christmas. One of his favourite sayings, especially when there was any mention of Christmas, was, "Bah, humbug." The thing about poor old Ebenezer Scrooge was that he was surrounded by people who loved Christmas. He had a nephew who invited him every year to his place for Christmas. He had an old boss who used to remember from time to time, who knew how to celebrate Christmas. His clerk, a very poor man with a large family by the name of Bob Cratchit, he had a little disabled son, Tiny Tim, and they knew how to celebrate Christmas. And there in the middle of it all was poor old Ebenezer Scrooge. And the book goes on and it tells the story of how on three successive nights, three ghosts appeared to poor old Ebenezer. The first one was the ghost of Christmas past. The next night it was the ghost of Christmas present. And then the third night, the ghost of Christmas yet to come. And in that final sort of apparition that he had, he was taken to a churchyard. And there in the churchyard, he read a gravestone. And written on the gravestone was his name. One day, Ebenezer was going to end up there, or somewhere like that anyway. And he realised, as these ghosts were speaking to him, that it was revealing something about himself, his attitude towards money, his attitude towards people, and anyway, as a result of that, he became a changed man. And he learned to experience the joy of Christmas. He learned how to celebrate with friends. He learned to become generous. Now, I know A Christmas Carol is not a Christian book in a particular way. That's probably more a warning about the dangers of materialism and living a self-centered life. But the bottom line is clear, and that is that Christmas is a time of the year when we are meant to experience joy. It's meant to be a time when we are able to, if you like, share the love of the Christmas season. And I think it's probably fair to say that the world needs a bit more joy. Wouldn't you agree? It does. And I think probably some of us who are sitting here this morning need a little bit more joy too. Well, what sorts of things normally bring joy to people at Christmas time? Well, some people might say, oh, well, a party. Everyone loves a good party. That gets you up. Presents, family get-togethers, time with grandma, no work for 10 days, the Boxing Day sales. Did I say that? Let's say the Boxing Day test, eh? Yeah. Ah, dear, the joy of Christmas. Yeah. But, I mean, what if you don't have family? What if you haven't been invited to a party? What if you have to work? What if you're feeling sad? Can you still experience sort of at least something of the joy of Christmas? Well, I just want to pose quickly three questions this morning for us to have a think about. The first is this: why should we be joyful at Christmas? When we read the Christmas story in the Bible, it becomes very clear that the birth of Jesus was almost universally a cause for joy. I was having a bit of a read through some of the details, and in the lead up to the birth of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, visited her cousin Elizabeth, who happened to be pregnant at the time. And it tells us there that as Elizabeth greeted Mary when she came, the baby in her womb leapt for joy. Imagine that. There's John the Baptist, 6 months in utero, and he's leaping for joy at the realisation that Mary was going to have a baby called Jesus, the Saviour. When the angel appeared to Mary and made the announcement to her that she was going to become the mother of a baby called Jesus, Mary sang this song, and she sang it with joy. She said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." She is filled with a sense of joy as she thinks about this impending birth. Then there were the angels who were out on the fields that night. And the shepherds were in the field, but the angels were appearing to the shepherds in the field, and the angels that night were singing with joy. And what were they singing? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And then after going down into Bethlehem and seeing the baby Jesus, we read that they then skipped back up to the hillside where their sheep were with joy, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And then there was the reaction of the wise men. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And so we see this sort of overwhelming emotion that's produced in people by the birth of Jesus and the impending birth of Jesus. And the reason is clear. Because this was no ordinary baby. I mean, every baby, in a sense, that is born is very special. And we've experienced some of that joy ourselves over the last couple of days with a new arrival in our family. And that's a wonderful thing. But this baby was different. The arrival of this baby was announced by angels. And repeatedly, as another one of the things that you notice as you read the Christmas story in the Bible there, is how often angels get involved. The arrival of Jesus was announced months beforehand by an angel. His name was given by an angel. His mission was clearly defined by an angel, that he would save people from their sins. And again, it was an angel who announced that this Messiah, this long-awaited Messiah that was coming, would reign as king forever. These are all announced by angels. Then there was a choir of angels that sang praises to God on the night of his birth. Later on, it was astrologers from Persia in the east who noticed this new star, which they followed and led them to the very place where Jesus was staying. How they worked that out, I don't know. Obviously, there was something miraculous involved. But all of these events surrounding the arrival of this new baby were indicators of just how special this baby really was. And so quite clearly, there was an extra reason for joy in the birth of Jesus. I mean, when you think back to the history at the time, it also makes it even more poignant, really, that this should have been a time of joy. If you were living in Israel back 2,000 years ago, life would have been fairly discouraging. The Romans were in power. The Romans didn't like the Jews. They found them very difficult and hard to get on with. They taxed them very heavily. They held them under very, very tight control. It was difficult in those days. The king at the time was a guy called Herod. History calls him Herod the Great. He'd been in power for over 30 years. He was probably crazy by this stage. He was an extremely volatile and unpredictable man. He murdered his wife. He murdered members of his own family. People never quite knew what side of the bed Herod was going to wake up in the morning and what that was going to mean for them as a nation. You think Donald Trump's bad? Just think about Herod. You won't complain. Then there were the priests and the Pharisees, who made life extremely difficult for the people in a religious sense. They weighed them down with all sorts of rules and regulations that they had to follow. It wasn't easy to be an average person in Israel back in those times there. But there was a new cause for joy because the Messiah had been born. The Messiah had finally come. The one who was Saviour, who was Messiah, who was King. These are all titles that were given to him by the angels. The one who was Saviour, Messiah and King had come. And that's always a good reason to celebrate at Christmas time. That's why we should be joyful at Christmas time. But who should be joyful at Christmas? Just think for a moment about some of the people who were caught up in the events at that time. There was the innkeeper. He was simply going about his job. It was just another day at the office for him. And there's a ring on the doorbell and he goes down. There's another young couple who were there. She was obviously very pregnant. And he was being asked to provide a room for them at his B&B or whatever it was. I wonder what he was thinking. I wonder if he ever realised the significance of what took place there that night. I know it was just a stable downstairs, but did he share the joy of this young couple who were giving birth to their first child? It's interesting, John Piper, the famous writer, actually wrote a poem called The Innkeeper, in which he imagines what went through the mind of that innkeeper as he thought about the events that were taking place. And as the poem goes on, it tells the story about how many, many years later, just before Jesus went to the cross, he visited that inn where he was born, and he met Jacob, the old man, who was still the innkeeper there, and they had a conversation together. I know it's all poetic license and imagination, but you wonder what he thought, that innkeeper thought, as he tried to make sense of what was taking place in his inn that night. But you see, Christmas was for him. Then there were the shepherds. Who were the shepherds? Well, they were the nobodies of society in those days. They were dirty and smelly. They spent their lives working with sheep. They were uneducated. They'd probably lost a few teeth along the way. And yet they were the ones who received the news that night from the angels out there in the fields. It was to them that the heavenly choir actually sang. They might have been the sort of the lower class of society. They might have been the dropouts, the social dropouts. But yet they were the ones, the first people who were there to welcome this new baby into the world, to share the joy of Mary and Joseph as they gathered around that manger. They didn't have any special gift to bring, but they brought themselves and they celebrated and they went on their way glorifying and praising God, it says. Jesus welcomes everybody, including the shepherds of this world. Christmas was for them. Then there's the wise men. These men weren't even Jews. They were astrologers. They'd come all the way from Persia or somewhere in the East anyway. What right, what right did they have to be having an audience with the King of Kings? Well, God miraculously guided them there. And they were filled with joy as they followed that star. And they arrived at the place where the star stopped, and they gave their gifts and they bowed down and they worshipped this baby. Christmas was for them. It's interesting, isn't it, that the people who were missing that day were the religious people. Where were they? Where were the priests? Where were the rabbis? Where were the Pharisees? Were they there worshipping this baby that had been born? It may even be that their religion had prevented them from recognising the true identity of Jesus. What does that tell us? Sometimes, you know, it's the religious types, it's the people who think they've got it all together, who actually have the most trouble in experiencing the joy that there is in meeting Jesus. Christmas ought to be a time of joy for us, because it reminds us of the fact that the Saviour has come, and he has come for everyone. He came to be our Saviour, he came to be our Messiah, he came to be our King. And it doesn't matter what our bank account looks like, it doesn't matter how educated we are, it doesn't matter what nationality we come from, it doesn't matter what family we've grown up in, it doesn't matter what we may have done in the past that we're ashamed of. We're all invited to share the joy of a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus didn't come for the rich and famous. Well, he did, but not just for them. He didn't come for those people who are morally perfect. He came for people who are humble enough to confess their sin, humble enough to admit that they need a Saviour, humble enough to recognise that Jesus is the one whom God has sent into the world to save us from our sin. I mean, every one of us is therefore included. We all need the Saviour. And I ask this morning, this is the third question, have you personally experienced the joy of Christmas? Is it something which is real to you personally? And I don't mean the warm, fuzzy feeling you get when the family comes around on Christmas Day. Yes, that's good, that's great. But I'm talking this morning about that deep joy that comes from knowing that the Jesus who came at that very first Christmas actually came for you personally. I wonder if you've ever heard of a guy called Paul Potts. Paul's a 47-year-old English guy. He's quite short. He's quite chubby, if I can sort of put that in a polite way. He was severely bullied when he was at school. Until a few years ago, he was a car phone salesman. And today, Paul Potts is world famous. He's had a movie made about his life. He's had a song written about him by Taylor Swift. There you go. He's sold millions of records. He's the target of one of the top YouTubes in the world. I think at last count there was something like 400 million hits. Who's Paul Potts? Well, in 2007, he became the first winner of Britain's Got Talent. And he stunned the world with his incredible tenor voice. If you Google Paul Potts, well, then the rest will make sense to you. But when he first auditioned for Britain's Got Talent, Paul Potts stood there and he told the judges he wanted to be a professional singer. And everybody laughed. It was a joke. There he was with his pot belly and his poorly fitting suit and his crooked teeth until he started to sing. And he stunned the world. And I think that the message I want to sort of drive home from that illustration, friends, is that we mustn't be fooled by the appearances. Because, you know, there are so many people who have stumbled and tripped and fallen because they haven't really recognised who Jesus really is. And they laugh at Jesus. They laugh at his humble beginnings. They can't believe that somebody could be born in a manger and be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They can't believe that somebody who died on a cross could be the Saviour and the Messiah that the whole world actually needs. And, you know, because of that, they miss the joy. They don't experience the joy that there is in the coming of Jesus. On the night of the birth of Jesus, that the angels said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." This good news that the angels were announcing that night about the birth of Jesus would bring great joy for everybody. And that's the message that I believe we really need to grasp a hold of on Christmas Day. Today ought to be a day of great joy. I mean, I guess for Christians, every day ought to be a day of great joy for us. But it may well be that there's somebody here this morning who has never really experienced that joy. They've never trusted in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And because of that, they really don't get Christmas. They're a bit like Ebenezer Scrooge in a sense. C.S. Lewis, the famous writer, Oxford University professor, became a Christian when he was a middle-aged man. He wrote his life story, and you know what he called it? Surprised by Joy. His autobiography. One day he discovered the joy of actually meeting Jesus personally. May well be this morning that you are a Christian, but you've lost your joy. You've forgotten the wonder of God's love for you in sending Jesus into the world at that first Christmas to be the Saviour. You've lost your joy. Well, why not rediscover your joy this morning and appreciate once again the delight that there is in realising once again who Jesus is and what he's done for you. In the book, The Christmas Carol, little Tiny Tim, the disabled son, there with his crutches, has this saying, and it's so applicable to us today: "A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us, everyone. God bless us, everyone." And you know, there is a sense in which that is the message that we need to grasp hold of today. God has come to bless us. He's come to bless us in Jesus. He wants us all to be able to experience his blessing and to rejoice in that blessing because of the coming of Jesus into the world. If you're not a Christian today, you've never experienced that joy, what better day to commit your life to Christ, to receive the forgiveness that Jesus the Saviour is offering to you today. And if you are a Christian, share the joy. I want to be a joyful Christian, don't you? I want other people to see something of the reality of the Lord Jesus in my life as I live it day by day. Yes, it's great to be a faithful Christian. It's great to do Christian things. But friends, do it with joy. Do it with joy. That's the message. The world needs more joy. The best way to discover that is by coming to know Jesus. Again, if you're not a Christian, why not commit your life to Jesus today? And if you are a Christian, rejoice. Rejoice in fact that Jesus has come, that you know him, that you can share him, radiate him to the world around. Let's pray. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart, including ours, receive her King. And heaven and nature sing. Well, Father, we pray this morning that something of the hope and the joy of Christmas might fill our hearts today. For some of us, Lord, that might mean restoring our joy, the joy that we've lost. For some of us, Lord, we need a top up. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'd overflow our hearts with that joy. But Lord, it might be that this morning there's someone who has never really experienced that joy. Oh, Father, help them to find that joy as they trust in Jesus today. And may this message ring out loud and clear throughout the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.